If you want to fulfill your potential or help other people fulfill their potential so you can feel great and get the rewards and respect you deserve, then I want to give you a free physical copy of my new best-selling book, because you deserve to know the truth. The most important things for fulfilling your potential are not tips, tricks, hacks, therapy, coaching, meditation, breathwork, goal setting, journaling, or finding your why. I know it sounds irrational because we're so used to hearing about using these things to help us fulfill our potential. But these approaches are outdated and ineffective, and they are based on a big lie.
To find out more and get your free physical copy of Dr. John Finn's best-selling book, The Habit Mechanic, go to tougherminds.co.uk.
Hello, Habit Mechanics. It's Dr. John Finn here. I hope you're having a fantastic week so far. Welcome to a shorter episode of the Habit Mechanic podcast. Remember, you can listen to live episodes of the Habit Mechanic podcast inside the Habit Mechanic University app, where you can ask us questions live and we will answer you during the live streamed podcast. Inside the app, you can also access your Habit Mechanic toolkit. You can also watch our live masterclasses and join our live Change Challenge coaching sessions. You can download the app for free. We're going to talk about stress today. We are hearing from more people that they are feeling stress more and more. There's more demands on them at work to do more and more work. They're feeling overloaded. They're feeling overwhelmed. They're finding it harder to do their best work. They're finding it harder to do high impact work. So we're going to unpack some of that today and think about how we can deal with it better and give a few examples of how we've time and time again helped people to actually overcome these types of challenges successfully. Joined today by my friend and colleague, Andrew Whitelam. Andrew, how are you?
Yeah, hi, John. Really great. Thank you very much. And great to be with you again. Yeah. And it's a fascinating topic, isn't it? I know on your travels in the world and in America, in the city of London, you see senior leaders and business people and teams with ever-increasing demands on them brought about by ever-changing scenarios in their own particular business sector or area that they work in and operate in.
Yeah, I think we can see globally, or when I say globally, I mean big sets of data showing that there is an increasing number of people who are feeling under pressure. So we can see in the UK that the last set of data, which came out in the summer, showed that 1.5 million people are signed off from work by, you know, doctors because they have anxiety and depression. That's the highest ever on record. And the projections into the future are that anxiety and depression are going to be ranked alongside cancer as a major contributor to long-term health problems in the UK. We can see in the US, data published earlier this year showing that 23% of the adult population, that's about 58 million people, have been diagnosed with a mental health disorder / challenge. We can see that if people are diagnosed with a mental health challenge between the ages of 27 and 35, that by the time they get to 50, their average earnings are 24% lower than those people that weren't diagnosed with a mental health challenge. So we can see big sets of data that are showing us that year on year, more and more people are struggling. And I think it's really helpful to unpack what is going on and some of the neurobiological processes that are actually driving these negative outcomes in people's lives. You think it would be helpful to do that?
Yeah, I do, John. And I think you know, the real world consequences, as you say, are very clear. And the data points to some shocking real world consequences for people and for teams, people's remuneration as they go throughout their career, and businesses perhaps even being faced with, disastrous, catastrophic consequences if they can't compete in their sector. So, yeah, it starts, as you say, in the brain with our habits.
Yeah, and it's really important to understand that. We say a lot that because our brain is encased inside the skull and we can't see it like you can see your bicep, we forget about it, but it's driving everything that we think and do. It's largely running on autopilot. We've spoken about the VUCA world for a long time, the volatile, uncertain, complex, ambiguous world. We now talk about the VUCA world on steroids, which is like... which is the post-COVID world. This is the driver of stress, and it's the driver of poor brain function. So if we want to manage stress really well, the first thing we need to do is get our brain working properly. The challenge with the world that we live in is that it's become harder and harder to get your brain working well, because it's become harder and harder to do the things that make your brain work well, which include good sleep, good diet, good exercise. So those things are harder to do. So straight away, we've got, on average, people's brains are just not working as well. On top of that, and I think it's really helpful, it's, our brain isn't quite like a muscle, but it's an organ, it's a living biological thing. And we understand that if we damage a muscle, or if we overuse a muscle and we don't stretch it properly and we don't look after it, it breaks and it tears. And it gets to the point where if that's our car, for example, we can't literally walk. We have to think of our brain in those terms, in that it gets damaged and it's getting increasingly damaged by the conditions of the VUCA world. So number one, it's just harder to do the basic things that make it work well. Number two, we are living in the attention economy, in the age of information, where at our fingertips, we can find out anything we want to find out just by searching a few keywords. So our brain is being bombarded with a constant stream of information. So if we use the muscle metaphor, it's like we're on a treadmill 24/7. If your legs are feeling tired, or if you've got a calf strain, you don't get back on the treadmill, do you? You rest your calf. Yeah, when people are feeling stressed and burnt out, what do? They sit down and they scroll through their phone and they put more and more information into their brain. That is the equivalent of getting on a treadmill. If you've got a strained calf, it's not a good idea. There's another reason. So it's not just the information that's coming in that's tiring our brains out. Also, a lot of the information that's coming in is jarring. It's disagreeable. It creates what we call disconnections of meaning systems, which lead to stress responses. So lots of that information, whether it's about the economy, or the cost of living, or the gas price, or Brexit, or what politicians are saying, or whatever's happening in the world, create stress responses in your brain. So that then is like a punch to your brain. We know that prolonged bouts of stress damage your brain. So stress is a natural response. Everyone experiences it. But when it's constant, it's like a punch to your brain. It damages your brain. So it's not just like being on a treadmill. It's actually like being on a treadmill and you're getting even more damage to the muscle, which in this metaphor is your brain. So we've got poorer brain function from the outset. We've gotten inundated with information more than we've ever been inundated before. A lot of that information is leading to higher levels of what we call disconnections of meaning systems, which leads to stress. And then on top of that, the consequences of the VUCA world mean that we have to keep tweaking and refining what we do in order to stay on top of things, whether that's learning how to embed ChatGPT or generative AI into our businesses so that we can stay ahead of the competition, whether that's working out how to get a better balance between home-based work and office-based work, because many businesses are still struggling to find that balance in the after the pandemic. We're having to deal with young people that are literally being abused by social media companies, completely taken advantage of. And, you know, we're seeing a bigger rise of absenteeism from schools. We're having to deal with the pandemic. And, you know, we're starting to see headlines again about the next variant of COVID, etc. We're having to deal with a financial crisis. So we're having to, the world is highly complex. And almost every week we're having to deal with a new challenge. And our brain doesn't like doing that because our brain likes to save energy. So it resists making changes. So we've just got this perfect storm of conditions that make it really, really hard to get our brain working well at a time where we need it to be working better than ever before, because we don't work in factories anymore where we learn our craft at 18 or in our early 20s and we don't have to learn any new professional skills for the rest of our life. And back in that time, we didn't take our work home with us, you know, and things were fairly stable. Now we're living in a world where there's just so much complexity being thrown at us every single day. So that's the unfortunate reality of the world that we're living in. And therefore, it's no surprise that people's stress levels are going through the roof.
Yeah. And against that backdrop, John, as you said, there's more demands, there's more complexity that people face. But I know there is good news, because you talk about, through the habit mechanic approach, being able to support people so that they can develop the ability to do more of this complex work, to solve these complex challenges that they need to. You empower them to do more high impact work more often. Please tell us about how you would start to go about that with someone or an organization.
Yeah, well, I think a step back from that is to say what also troubles me is that we also live in a world where there's more resilience training than ever before. There's more mental health training than ever before. There's more support for leaders than ever before. Yeah, there's more people struggling. That tells us that those support systems are not working. And they're not working because the fundamental principles they're based on were designed before we understood how brains actually worked. So those approaches are based, those traditional approaches are based on what we call black box theories. Theories that were designed before we understood how brains worked. And therefore, arguably, a lot of the work and things people are doing to try to be at their best more often, individually and collectively, are doing more damage than good, because they're leading us to believe that, well, I tried something, but I can't change, and it's just me, and I'll never be able to change, and we get in these helpless cycles. What I've done and my colleagues have done over the past 20 years is we've taken the latest insights from neuroscience, behavioral science, applied psychology, and we've created the habit mechanic approach, which is based on the latest insights from science, latest insights about how brains work. And what we see is that actually just by teaching people how their brain works in a very specific way, and then teaching them how to analyze their habits and how to build better ones, how to, in other words, reprogram their brain, we are able to help them to not only manage stress, but to do significantly more what we call focused and high impact work each day, each week, and each month. And what we see, and it's And we're actually now training other coaches to do this. And I know you've been speaking to lots of those coaches recently, Andrew, the people that have become certified. We're also able to train other coaches to help their clients do that. And what we see is that we can help people that are feeling stressed, they're feeling tired, they're feeling burnt out. We can help those people time and time again to do between 20 to 80 more hours of high impact at work per month. So that's 20 to 80 hours more high impact work per month. And that obviously has a hugely positive impact on people's lives.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure people will hear that who are not familiar with the habit mechanic approach and realize that could be a route to solving many of the challenges they face. How would you go about starting that process then with someone, John? How would you, if someone, you come across someone who is in perhaps a senior leadership role or a high pressure role or a demanding role, maybe as an individual, how do you start to take them on this journey to turning them around so they can achieve those kind of high performance levels, which is after all what we're talking about, performing, I suppose, when you're in this stressed context?
Yeah, the key thing to understand is what we call our 25-hour brain. And I will unpack that and explain exactly what I mean. So we think about the brain as being like a battery. And it's a battery that operates in three states. So we have a recharged brain state, we have a medium-charged brain state, and we have a high-charged brain state. Also, every day, we have jobs that we need to do. We have jobs at work, jobs at home. And we can separate those jobs into two distinct categories. So we can think about as the easy, habit, fairly mindless jobs that we do as freezing ice cubes. And we think about the more creative, innovative, high impact, focused work that we do as building ice sculptures. So we do freezing ice cube work, which is mentally fairly easy. And we do building ice sculpture work, which is mentally pretty challenging. So freezing ice cubes versus freezing ice sculptures. So if we want to, the challenge we face is that when our brain's not working very well, it's really hard to build ice sculptures. But that's what senior leaders need to do. It's what high-performing people need to do in order to take their move their life forwards, to move their organizations forwards, etc. So let me connect the brain states, recharge, medium charge, and high charge, with ice cubes and ice sculptures. So let's just start off with recharge. So in every 24-hour period, we need to spend some time doing recharge. That includes sleep, but also just relaxing and switching off. Also, in every 24-hour period, we're going to spend some time doing in our medium-charged brain states. That's the brain state we use to freeze ice cubes. Also, when we're at our best, or if we want to be at our best, we need to spend some time in every 24-hour period, certainly in the working week, doing high-charge work. And we use our high-charge brain to build ice sculptures. What we need to recognize is that there's an optimal ratio between how we use those brain states. And you can think of it like a pyramid. The bottom of the pyramid is recharge, sleep and non-sleep. And if we don't get the recharge right, we're not going to be able to do as much medium charge and high charge work as we'd like to do. And as I pointed out earlier, the VUCA world is making it harder and harder to get the recharge done, because people find it harder to sleep well, to exercise properly, to eat properly, and that just damages basic brain function. But also, we're being led to believe that we're doing recharge when in fact we're doing medium charge. Because sat on the sofa scrolling through your social media is not recharge. It's bombarding your brain with information. So that's medium charge. So you think you're doing recharge, but actually doing medium charge. So, but we need to get that base right. So we help people to build better habits in those areas. Then the second layer of the pyramid is going to be medium charge. And I will assign some broad numbers to this shortly. So we're going to spend some time inside work, outside of work, freezing ice cubes, doing mindless work. The thing about that type of work, especially in a work context, is that increasingly artificial intelligence is replacing humans. So humans that are good at doing medium charge work are going to become less and less valuable because we're just going to automate it. And we'll see the UK government pushing for that, increasingly so, you know, in Whitehall, for example. This is going to be the trend. The top of the pyramid is high charge work. AI is not very good at doing high charge work. Humans are very good at it if we can get our brain working really well. So we use our high charge brain to build ice sculptures. So what we need to get right if we're going to be at our best is the balance between those three levels of the pyramid. The base level is recharge, the middle level is medium charge, the top level is high charge. Now, we can assign some loose numbers to this. So my personal examples would be I want to spend about 12 hours a day, 12 hours in a 24-hour period doing recharge. That includes sleep, it includes exercise, it includes eating, it includes some very deliberate recharge activities. I'm then going to spend maybe between 7 to 8 hours doing medium charge stuff, both inside work and outside of work. And then what I want to do is consistently through the week, for each of the working days, I want to be doing between 4 to 5 hours of high charge work each day. So what is the 25-hour brain? The 25-hour brain is doing your 4 to 5 hours of high charge work every day of the week. So if currently you're only doing 1 hour of high charge work per day, you're leaving 3 or 4 hours on the table. So we know, and we see time and time again, when people use our system, the habit mechanic system, they're able to do not just 1 hour, but an additional 4 hours of high charge work per day. If people are already doing quite well, let's say that they're already doing 3 or 4 hours of high charge work per day, we can help them to do another 1 or 2 hours. And if you add those up across the week and the month, that's where we're getting 20 extra hours as a minimum through to 80 extra hours of high charge work. If you want to fulfill your potential or help other people fulfill their potential so you can feel great and get the rewards and respect you deserve, then I want to give you a free physical copy of my new best-selling book, because you deserve to know the truth. The most important things for fulfilling your potential are not tips, tricks, hacks, therapy, coaching, meditation, breathwork, goal setting, journaling, or finding your why. I know it sounds irrational because we're so used to hearing about using these things to help us fulfill our potential. But these approaches are outdated and ineffective, and they are based on a big lie.
To find out more and get your free physical copy of Dr. John Finn's best-selling book, The Habit Mechanic, go to tougherminds.co.uk.
Yeah, I think the thing is, John, it's perhaps revelatory for people to understand what a limited resource this high performance zone is, if I can put it in my terms, high charge brain, as you've just explained to us. How do you go about getting someone then to get more out of that? How do you begin to work with them so that they can take off the table what they're previously leaving behind?
If you want to fulfill your potential or help other people fulfill their potential so you can feel great and get the rewards and respect you deserve, then I want to give you a free physical copy of my new best-selling book, because you deserve to know the truth. The most important things for fulfilling your potential are not tips, tricks, hacks, therapy, coaching, meditation, breathwork, goal setting, journaling, or finding your why. I know it sounds irrational because we're so used to hearing about using these things to help us fulfill our potential. But these approaches are outdated and ineffective, and they are based on a big lie.
To find out more and get your free physical copy of Dr. John Finn's best-selling book, The Habit Mechanic, go to tougherminds.co.uk.
Yeah, well, first of all, understanding their brain, then using our habit metric tools to understand your destructive habits and start learning about your super habits, and then using our habit building toolkits to destroy more of your destructive habits and build more super habits. And we have a range of ways we help people to do that. We have a do-it-yourself systems. You can read the book if you want. You can use the app. We have one-to-one coaching programs where we guarantee these results. When you work with us, we guarantee the results. If we don't get the results for you, we give you you don't pay. And we'll keep working with you until you do. And then also, we train coaches or people that want to be coaches to reprogram their own clients' brains so they can get the same results for their own clients. But, you know, the approach is all the same. We can make this sound very simple, but ultimately it takes, it's taken a lot of time to put this together. So I think if you want to get results quickly, it's best to work with us and we will guarantee you those results. And we know that we haven't just done this at one-to-one coaching level. We do this at organizational levels as well. We can scale this across organizations. So if you want more people to be doing more focused, high-impact work in your organization, this is an absolutely powerful solution for you as well.
Yeah, I think that's another important point to highlight that, as we said at the start of this chat, it starts with an individual's brain, but an organization is the sum total of a group of brains, if you like. And that's something to bear in mind, that if everyone is working towards doing more of their best work more often, then there'll be a collective benefit, and the results will be manifested in that area of organizational performance as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Brains run organizations, and most of what brains do is automatic, and it's easier than ever to do lots of unhelpful things or automate lots of unhelpful things. And we're seeing that, and the solutions that are available just don't work because they're not based on insights about how brains work. Our solution does work. We've proven it time and time again. People that are stressed, that are overwhelmed, that are struggling to be their best, they use these techniques and they sleep better. They're more focused. They're more productive. They get to spend more time with their family. They get promotions faster. They take their businesses to the next level. But fundamentally, when you strip it all back, they're just much better able to do focused, high-impact work. And when you can consistently do that day after day after day because you've got a clear system of how to do it, then everything else in your life gets so much easier.
Yeah, thanks, John. We're coming to the close of this session. We have had a question in from A. Mantenon, and they ask, to achieve high-charge work, do you also need a higher activation? Brackets, is there a link between activation and brain states?
Yeah, that's a great question, Pauline. And that is a really important ingredient, activation, in being at our best. We need we have an optimal, if we go back to the brain states, recharge, medium charge, high charge, you will have an optimal activation level for each of those brain states. So for me, if I want an activation, just very, very quickly, is it's a measurement of our energy levels physically and mentally. And we have a dial. We have the activation dial that goes from 0, 0 all the way around to 100. It's like a speedometer. If you're at 0, 0 on the activation dial, it means that you're dead. That's the starting point. And if you're at 100, it means that your heart is beating as quickly as you can and your brain is racing, which means you could be pumped up, you could be angry, you could be really stressed. You might even be really excited. It kind of looks the same in your brain. So for me, at recharge, I want to be around a minimal 20 on the activation dial. I can do medium charge work at, I'd say, between about 30 and 40. But to do my high charge, high impact work, I need to be around 50 to 60. So yeah, we've got to match the activation levels. And this is, you know, we can make this sound simple, but that's why you need to work with experts to really guide you here. But if you want to dig deeper into these areas, then you can work with the productivity coach in the app, in the Habit Mechanic University app. You can also read towards chapters 21 in the Habit Mechanic book, chapters 25, where we unpack these areas in a bit more detail.
Okay, thanks for that, John. Yeah, we're coming towards the end of the session, as I say. Thank you for that question. That was great. I just wonder, John, in the course of your work and traveling to the US and working in the UK as well and in Europe as well, how would you measure the change we've seen since perhaps pre-pandemic now? You've told us in simple terms it's getting worse than ever, but just, I suppose, could you put a percentage on it? How much more pressure, or maybe not a percentage, but could you quantify in any way how much more pressure, how much more challenge people are facing?
I think the best way to understand this is that the part of our brain that we use to think consciously is a very, very limited resource. So we say willpower lives there. We call it the hack brain, the helpful attention control brain. It's the prefrontal cortex in neurobiological language. Sometimes it's coined as the 10-cent brain. So we talk about the limbic regions as the million-dollar brain because they're running most of what we think and do. And then we've got this 10-cent brain. So it's an extremely limited resource. So it doesn't take much to overwhelm it. And I think what really worries me is that figure in the UK where people are being signed off for work for anxiety and depression. And that is going to add, in this cycle to the UK economy, an extra 20 billion to the benefits bill, essentially. So just a little sort of creak in terms of people being really strained by what's going on has a seismic impact on our economy. And that filters down to businesses as well. And I'm sure businesses are struggling more with people being on sick and recruiting as well. But there is a solution. We have to start with the brain in mind and help people to reprogram their brains, I think, is the best way to think about it. So, yeah, I don't think things are going to get better in terms of the challenges we're coming up against. But what we can do is take more control of our own situation. And we have the tools and the support systems to help people to do that individually, as a team and as an organization. it doesn't matter how challenging the world gets, by understanding ourselves and how our brain works and becoming a habit mechanic, you can do better. So the key is to reprogram your brain, and we've got tried and tested ways to do that. And the first step to reprogramming your brain is to just build one new habit. You never know, that one new habit can have a hugely disproportionately positive impact on your life. And that's why we say you're only ever one habit away.
If you want to fulfill your potential or help other people fulfill their potential so you can feel great and get the rewards and respect you deserve, then I want to give you a free physical copy of my new best-selling book, because you deserve to know the truth. The most important things for fulfilling your potential are not tips, tricks, hacks, therapy, coaching, meditation, breathwork, goal setting, journaling, or finding your why. I know it sounds irrational because we're so used to hearing about using these things to help us fulfill our potential. But these approaches are outdated and ineffective, and they are based on a big lie.
To find out more and get your free physical copy of Dr. John Finn's best-selling book, The Habit Mechanic, go to tougherminds.co.uk.